This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, artificial intelligence is everywhere. It could soon come to an office training session near you. Case in point, the firm T. Rowe Price's recent experiment, an office exercise involving 18 workers and pop and heavy metal songs. Could your business soon offer AI training, and will you be more artificially intelligent for it, is the question. We'll have the answer, but first, these tech headlines. Snapchat is ready to show live video of NBC's Olympics coverage. The social media app is preparing to launch a tool to let TV networks pipe snippets of live broadcasts directly into Snapchat, starting this Saturday with NBC's coverage of the big games. The move could forge closer ties between traditional TV networks and Snapchat's parent company, Snap Inc., who has aimed to sweep up the ad dollars that broadcasters are losing. Let's talk earnings. Snap stock surged more than 25% after the company reignited revenue and user growth for the first time as a public traded firm, a promising sign that its Snapchat app is a viable alternative to Facebook and Google. And Goldman Sachs is in talks with Apple to finance iPhone sales. Customers purchasing a $1,000 iPhone could take out a loan from Goldman instead of charging it to credit cards that often carry high interest rates. Coming up, the business possibilities opened up by AI and machine learning. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. Some 18 workers at T. Rowe Price's new Tech Innovation Center in New York City took part in an office exercise. The goal? To foster the innovative use of analytics across the company. The approach? An AI experiment involving pop and heavy metal songs. Joining us now to explain is The Wall Street Journal's Angus Lowton. Welcome.
Hi.
So to get employees thinking about new business possibilities, to possibly try to get them to think a little bit more algorithmically or what have you, T. Rowe Price recently ran a workshop. Tell us about it and why it decided to try something like this.
Sure. Well, artificial intelligence is sort of coming into its own this year, and that's the context here is that companies for years and years have been gathering data through whether it's through mobile devices, sensors, whether it's through IoT, which is Internet of Things. Right. So they've got all this data, and they're sitting on it, and cloud computing is giving them a ton of capacity to do this. The promise of artificial intelligence is that you can now add programs to parse through all this data and make it valuable, find some value to it. Now, it's not so easy as just to slap it on there. The thing is that the people who probably know how best to apply it are those outside of technology hubs. So what T. Rowe Price was doing was trying to make a workshop so that employees that were not maybe technically inclined got a sense of exactly what AI can do. The way they did this was under their senior IT manager, Nigel Faulkner, at the Innovation Center here in New York. They got a team of about 18 employees together, and they were tasked with creating a smart app that would be able to differentiate between pop music and heavy metal music.
How unique are experiments like this in the workplace? Is this becoming more common?
Well, you think it would be, because we recently covered an Accenture survey, for instance, about 1,200 corporate executives, and everybody's really fired up about AI. And so the survey found a good 75% to 80% of these executives were gung-ho about using AI, going ahead and getting things done, but getting things started. But only about 3% had any interest at all in staff training. And most people, Accenture included, but most people will tell you that for some of these projects to be successful, the people who are the employees on the end of them have to know how it works. They got to know what's going on, how to apply them. Anybody can slap on a new technology in a corporate setting, but if nobody uses it or has any sense of what it's doing, it often ends in failure. So this kind of a training program, though it may seem a little silly on the face of it, it's early days for AI, and I think they've found a pretty clever way of getting non-tech inclined employees to take an interest.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. How did this experiment go? Walk us through it.
Well, on some levels, it worked. It was about 18 employees, as I said, here at the Innovation Center in New York. They didn't, of course, computing, coding or any of the more detailed technological stuff wasn't involved. But the idea, it was more of a conceptual thing. So they had to figure out what it is they needed, the elements that they needed to make a program like this work. What they did was they took lyrics. What you would do is find a large store of data. So in this case, the large store of data was song lyrics, which are all over the place online.
Sure.
And they took pop songs and they took heavy metal songs and they divided them into two different categories. And then they pulled out words, they found commonalities, and they found the differences in between these sets of lyrics. And so words in pop songs like love and cherish and what have you were put off in a unique pile. And in heavy metal songs, you might get war and blood and battle and the devil and things like this. And that went on, they went in another pile. And once they've made these differentiations, they could put the app into motion and it would be able to tell the difference between these songs. I want to say that this particular experiment was so successful. It was, in a way. It pulled out, I was told that it successfully identified Hell's Bells, clear heavy metal song, classic heavy metal song. But it managed to get tripped up on a Christa Berg song, Lady in Red, which was a 1980s kind of pop anthem, a bit saccharine. But takeaway was obviously that it needed some tweaking and it wasn't as easy as it may seem.
Super interesting. Angus, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
For more on the story, you can check out reporter Angus Lowton's coverage at WSJ.com. This has been the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.